Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" Seen in the context of the place and time in which this particular episode took place, it is hard not to see this as a mid-course evaluation or assessment by Jesus about his ministry. In the gospel reading for today, we find that Jesus and his disciples passing through the villages of Caesarea Philippi. When it comes to interpreting the Bible, the location matters a lot. Caesarea Philippi, the place Jesus and disciples chose to pass through, was a significant place. It was the center of the worship of the emperor and the Greek god Pan. The people who worshiped the emperor believed that the emperor was the son of God. So whenever Jesus passed through a place, he made some news or created some stir. Now imagine Jesus and his disciples walking through a place where people worship their emperor as the son of God when the real son of God is walking right past. The disciples were nervous as to what it will cause. The other aspect of this particular passage is the timing. This episode in the gospel took place right in the middle, at the midpoint of Jesus' earthly ministry. And for Mark, the gospel writer, it is so very significant that he put this place right in the middle of his 16 chapters long gospel, in the 8th chapter. Jesus clearly wanted to know how his contemporaries perceived him as, how he was understood to be by people outside of his close circle, outside of his disciples. For some, Jesus was a spellbinding speaker like John the Baptist, and for some, he was a wonder worker and a great prophet like Elijah. For many, he's new, he's hip, he's exciting, provocative, and entertaining. How people viewed Jesus said more about them than about himself. The Pharisees and scribes, for instance, secretly regarded and respected Jesus as a threat, a powerful threat to their spiritual monopoly. Yet, they publicly held the view that he was a clever fraud. So at this midpoint in his mission, Jesus wanted to hear what others thought of him. His disciples, the inner circle, served him as a listening post, an ear to the society at large. Has Jesus made any inroads into the spiritual life of the people? How has the kingdom of God Jesus came to preach breaking in to the world, to the community? Jesus was clearly not impressed with what answers he got so far from outside his inner circle. For disciples, giving a report of what others say about Jesus was easy because it is in second person. Isn't it always easy when you can answer a question in a second person? But now comes the question, who do you say that I am? You say that I am. Not what other people say, you say. It is personal now. No longer can they hide behind what others say about Jesus. No longer the answer is going to be in second person. Now you have to answer in the first person, what I believe as Jesus. Not only you got to say Jesus, what Jesus was in their own words, but you got to say it in where? In Caesarea Philippi, in the place where emperor is considered as the Son of God. It requires guts and conviction, strength of conviction, to be able to make that confession. In my previous life, I used to work as an insurance agent. When I started in the business and selling insurance and seeing that I was not doing well, my general agent gave me an advice. Say, Koshi, you won't be able to make others buy your product unless you yourself are sold onto it. Do I really believe in the product that I am selling? How true? How can I tell others the importance of something that I myself not fully convinced in? Jesus relied on his disciples to tell the world about the kingdom of God that is breaking into the world. Had they been sold on to the kingdom of God themselves? And today, Jesus relies on us, on you and me, to go and tell the people about Jesus and about how God is moving ahead of us into our neighborhoods, into the villages and towns of our Caesarea Philippi, the center of empire worship and the worship of God, Pan. Are we sold on to the kingdom of God breaking into our neighborhood? Are we really? Can we, like Peter, say with conviction that Jesus is the Messiah? Unless and until our faith becomes personal, any ministry we will be engaged in is not going to be any different from that of the many works of so many NGOs, the non-governmental organizations in the world. As a church, we may have a choir singing great music. We may have a family ministry offering innovative programs for our children, an outreach ministry feeding more and more people in the neighborhood, lay people fully engaged in all aspects of church ministry, and clergy may be making thoughtful sermons week after week, touching on all the contemporary issues. Still, if we cannot answer the Jesus question, who do you say that I am? We are nothing but an NGO. Again, we may say the right answer, like Peter did. You are the Messiah. But still, we could be dead wrong, again like Peter, in our expectations of what the Messiahship is all about. Naming the title the right way does not reflect on one's understanding of what that title means. According to Jesus, Messiah means suffering, rejection, death, and then the resurrection. In other words, there is no crown without the cross. For Peter, the talk of suffering and rejection and death are too much for him to bear. Today, do we say that Jesus is the Messiah for the right reason? and with the right expectation. Sometimes we loosely and glibly say, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Do we know the implication of what we say when we say that? It means we deny ourselves for the sake of the gospel. It means we accept others fully, even when they are different from us, even when they are aliens, even when they come from Middle East, the place where Jesus came from. Taking up the cross means that we don't circle our wagons and become nativistic and keep out the Mexicans, the illegals, the migrants, and the undocumented. It also means that we won't put up any big wall on our southern border and keep out our neighbors. But rather it means we break down the walls and build bridges and make amends with our enemies and enter into relationship with our neighbors far and near. That is what it means, Messiahship. Yes, we must pass through our unfriendly neighborhoods, our Caesarea Philippi. Today, Jesus wants us, just as he did 2,000 years ago, when he walked through the streets of Caesarea Philippi, to move through our neighborhood and listen to our neighbors. What we want to do at St. Peter's Church in Phoenixville is to practice how to listen on what God is up to in our neighborhood so that we can join God there. Jesus would ask today to us, what will profit us to maintain this magnificent worship space? What will it profit us by having the right liturgy and a great service with all the smokes and bells and whistles if we are alienated from our community? If we are alienated from our brothers and sisters who live in our neighborhood? I must say, however, that in our community, and this is something that we can be proud of, in our neighborhood, our church, St. Peter's Church, does have a good reputation as a church that is nice to people, a church that cares about people, a church that feeds and listens to people. Still, we must be constantly vigilant in moving through our neighborhoods and listening to what God is up to in there. New things God may be doing, and we need to be listening to that. We need to seek fresh ways of being a church by going back to what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago, moving through the villages and neighborhoods. This is what God's expectations of us: become a neighborhood church. Let us align our expectations with God's expectations of us and transform ourselves, our church, and our world.